What is that? You. I heard your channel's doing pretty good.
Yours too. Your last video just hit 1,000.
How does he know?
Maybe we should work together.
I think this can work to my advantage.
Sure.
What does red pill mean to me? Interesting question. I think it's just another extreme, honestly. Like, it's just a way for men to combat all of the craziness that they've heard coming from women, but I don't think it's going to last.
Shit, red pill to me, it means that these guys out here got to stop with this beta male bullshit. Grow a pair.
You just leave it alone. Yeah. The red means recording.
Like that.
When I think about Larry, I think about a sentient graham cracker. Really smart guy, kind of square. I mean, obviously graham because he's black, but he's definitely talented at what he does.
I take back everything I said about you.
I'm glad you like that.
It's felt like I got my vagina licked. Like, don't do that. Like, what the hell?
All right, well, there it is. That's the intro.
That's how you start the episode.
Oh, fuck, I forgot you were recording. Oh, well.
You want to introduce yourself again, sir? Welcome back to the channel.
Yeah, we have a special guest today. I think it's the The largest growing reaction channel on YouTube. And I actually did the research before we came in, and that's actual or factual. You don't need to look it up, though, but I did that for you.
What's up, everybody? My name is Eric, a.k.a. I can't hear myself no more. AKA Golden Boy. I do have a YouTube channel, started about 2 months ago, and I just focus on reactive content. So I can be reacting from anything to scientific stuff, political stuff, sports stuff, you name it. And I'm excited to be here to collab with the boys from the Man Cave.
Oh, that was cute.
No,
that was
the
most wholesome, like, little intro.
All right. So what we're talking about today is Larry's favorite creator. I think you put him as like one of your favorite rappers now too.
About Eminem, actually.
Yep. Mr. Ben Shapiro, right? Kind of crazy. Is that what we're talking about today?
Your best friend? I think so, but that's not actually my favorite anything. So I don't really know why you said that.
Well, you said something different before we started. But so what exactly is this video that we're going to be kind of talking about today, Lair Bear?
Well, I think it's better to let Eric kind of talk us through this because this is his thing.
All right. So essentially, Ben Shapiro has a response to the red pill because he's heard some claims from the red pill community that men should not be married in today's society and that there is no incentive to it.
And disclaimer, everybody here is married, so.
Everybody here is married. Happy married, too.
Right.
So what we're going to be, I guess, discussing is his response. And I'm actually curious to see if we'd actually agree with the man at all. You know, since he is Larry's favorite person, I want to.
Oh, my God. This is going to be the running joke for the episode.
I'm a serious person. This isn't a joke.
Oh, you mean Dr. T? Oh, yeah, he was a cool dude. He was all right, I guess. He seems really smart, but I think he's just overcompensating for his French fry socks.
Red pill to me is essentially feminism for men. And I guess that's where I'll leave that.
I'll say that. Ben Shapiro is my favorite person.
There we go. We got it on record.
Can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Well, folks, there is something called the red pill movement. It's sort of a far-right movement that focuses in on saying the unsayable, and now many of the red-pilled have taken the position that it's bad for men to get married. A fascinating debate has broken out about the value of marriage. It's really interesting. So there are a bunch of people on the so-called red-pilled right who have now suggested that marriage is bad for men, that men should not get married. Now, the case that they're making is not the liberal feminist case that basically men are useless and terrible and a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle or anything like that. The case that they are making is that the stakes of marriage have been changed by things like no-fault divorce, custody arrangements, the child support payments and all the rest, spousal support, that basically the legal regimen has made it not a bargain for men to get married. Now, I agree with the critique of all of those policies. I think no-fault divorce is a disaster area. I think that the child custody arrangements that basically always go to mom no matter what, that is a serious problem. When you shift the incentive structure, there's a reason why the vast majority of divorces are now initiated by women.
Good boss.
Want to stop it? Or? Yeah. Okay. Still got fucking ask me for permission.
Well, I didn't know what the plan was, so I'm just kind of like freeballing here.
Do you agree with what he's saying there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The risk is on the guy, right?
It's funny when he puts it like that. It's kind of like he's highlighting what the actual problem is. It's not really about the getting married part.
Mm-hmm.
It's the consequences if it goes wrong.
When it does. It's a joke.
Yeah, it's the unintended consequence, right? Because every girl dreams of her wedding day, but you never see guys dreaming of their wedding day. It doesn't work that way. And I think that's because of the consequences of marriage that have happened probably like in the last 40, 50 years. Again, mm-hmm. with all the divorced and no-fault parts of it. So I could understand why men are now given the advice that marriage is bad for them when you take a look at the negative outcomes only.
You know, what's funny is we've had guests in the past, and
he's not a guest.
No, I'm not talking about him, motherfucker. Okay. We've had guests in the past where we're just casually talking as we're setting up prior to the show. And you might know who I'm talking about, who specifically says there's nothing in it for men in a marriage. He's not going to get married. Mm-hmm. There's no gain for it. I think he says that whenever he asks a guy how their marriage is going, they usually say, oh, it's going good. But he never hears it's going great, right? You ask like a woman how it's going, oh, it's going great. Because the gauge of what women get as far as benefit in a marriage, in his eyes, is dramatically higher than what a guy gets out of a marriage.
I think it depends on the marriage.
Mm.
I don't think like these red pill people are kind of claiming that all the women who are married to men are getting the stay at home wife treatment.
Yeah.
And they're like getting to go to Louis Vuitton every 30 seconds and right. just max out credit cards.
Yeah. I think that it's about value.
Mm.
Clearly men and women value different things.
True.
You're more likely to hear a guy saying work is great than his marriage is great. Like, it doesn't mean that men don't value their marriage. It's just that the value that women get is different than what men get. Because
I agree.
Marriage is a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it. It's a duty. Every day I have a job to my wife. I have a job to my child, my right. household. It is a everyday 24/7 fight.
Right.
Struggle, whatever you want to call it. So
it's the ultimate game of chess.
It is the ultimate game of chess, right? How many moves are you going to make, right? So I think when you ask a guy about his marriage, first of all, we don't even want to talk about that shit.
Right.
That just lets you know that we don't value it the same way and look at it the same way that women do. So
I don't know. To me, it sounds like I'm going to put it like kind of like in gaming terms.
Oh, okay.
To me, it sounds like what you're saying is guys look at marriage as kind of like a single player RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And then their wife is kind of like this extra character that you never get to control.
Leon!
but really, it's supposed to be a co-op multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be a fight. It should be...
But even in co-op multiplayer, to keep it in gaming terms, there's always one person who's doing better than the other one.
And there's no two people have the same strengths in a co-op.
Yeah.
No two people value the co-op the same way.
Yeah,
have true. You ever like played co-op and the person's making you die? I'm not saying that that's what women are doing in marriages, but I'm just saying that the value is different for the players that are playing. So I don't think that there's no value in marriage. I think that marriage is probably the best thing for two people to do, especially if you want to feed into your culture.
And live longer.
It's healthier.
Right.
It's safer for your children.
Facts.
There's a lot of benefits. There's taxes.
Wait, there's tax breaks for marriage? You guys are getting tax breaks? Mm.
There's actually credibility in marriage. Imagine Larry running for office, but he's a single man. But having your wife with you, that boosts your credibility.
Yeah.
So there's so many benefits unless to being married. I mean, fuck that orange nigga.
But yeah, unless you're, I guess you just threw off my shit, bro.
Good.
Trump 2024. Yeah, right. what would you have to say about the risks that he listed as far as the things that men, like the situation of getting married, you put yourself at risk to, you know, with divorce and custody battles and the shit that the man has to lose in a result if the marriage goes sour. The woman doesn't lose as much as the guy does in that situation.
Yeah, no, I think it's stacked against men. I think the deck is stacked against men in a divorce situation. I think that's obvious. I think everybody here knows that. Nobody's going to disagree with that. But I think women have something to lose in divorce. Like, number one, we talk about a societal aspect. Like, it's almost like, how could you if a woman gets divorced in certain situations? I think in a younger setting, women are more accepting of divorce if they feel like the woman stands to gain something. But older women, you know, they don't look at divorce the same way, in my experience. Like, usually women get shamed by their mothers or aunts or whatever if they don't make their marriage work. Because it's kind of like, well, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why didn't he want to keep you? Or why couldn't you keep him happy? Like, it's a lot of like shaming and guilt in that type of setting.
Yeah, it's the same way. Like, you ever go out, like, and the mom or an aunt or something always be like, yo, make him a plate. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, it's the same mentality.
I love that auntie.
Yeah.
I love that.
But it's auntie. The same mentality, right? Because yeah, in their head, they're like, you want to keep him around, right? Like, you have to do dot, dot, dot. And if you didn't keep him around, you probably weren't doing the dot, dot, dot that you were supposed to do.
Right. Right.
Is that what you did, right?
That's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, I don't think it's supposed to work this way, but a lot of morality is tied to legality.
So what do you mean?
So it was immoral. Mm-hmm. You were shamed. Like, we don't have shame anymore.
Right.
Back in the day before there was no fault divorce.
Right.
You had to work it out and stick it out with the person you chose to have kids with. That's your lineage. That's how you're supposed to continue. But when you create no fault divorce.
No fault divorce. It's not what she said. Clearly it was my fault.
Oh, well, you could just separate from him. You could just try again. Yeah, there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
Like, if we made murder legal, there would be no shame in murder.
That's true.
So a lot of morality these days is just tied to whatever we deem as legal. And then that helps to kind of perpetuate it throughout culture for decades to come.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, I agree with that. I think also women want, for the most part, to keep their children in a two-parent household.
Well, obviously, when I think about Larry, I think about fatherless, you know, growing up without a dad. That really does some damage.
Like, I don't think people, like, especially when it comes to children, I don't think women enjoy being single moms. Like, that shit is hard. And it limits the woman's mobility, and it limits their ability to choose certain types of partners by having a child, whether they want to admit it or not.
Well, there are women out there. I mean, obviously, you're not saying that there isn't that financial gain from having as many kids.
And getting child support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen situations where people benefit so much that they don't even have a job, that their job is just being a single mom because they're getting child support money from different people.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen it.
Yeah, I don't think women want to be single moms, but there's also nothing out there that encourages them not to be. Like, we were just talking about all the benefits. Women receive far more benefits than men do in almost every aspect. When's the last time you've seen a homeless woman? You may see them.
Yeah, I've seen them regularly.
But in comparison to homeless men, there's a huge disparity there. So women are valued way more than men are.
Right.
So even when a woman is a single mother, she's seen as a victim or a struggling parent, and she's going to get that additional support. And that sort of reinforces that mindset to where it's like, okay, well, if I can succeed absent of a man or independent of a man, then there's no value in having one around.
Right.
You know, I can put this guy on child support. I can actually go and have another baby with this other guy, put him on child support too, and I can let the government become my baby daddy. Now, I don't think that that's intentional. I just think that that's an unintended consequence of some old
the system. Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, if you want to cheat the system, sure, maybe from a financial standpoint, like, that's a win. Mm-hmm. But what about everything else?
Yeah, what about your kids?
Yeah, what about everything else?
And what about when you're 50 and 60?
That's not a win.
You're gonna be a auntie, like,
yeah.
You're gonna cool auntie, like,
not to mention, like, your kids typically perform like poorer and, you know, at schools and from, you know, just from a societal standpoint when their fathers aren't in the household. So now you're setting your kids up for failure on top of that.
And especially like specifically within our culture, it would benefit us to be married long term.
I'm Irish. What are you talking about?
Happy St. Patty's Day, bro. I don't know what the marriage statistics are for Irish folks, but
it's not great. I'm pretty sure.
A lot of culture is passed down and traditionalized through marriage agreements. Right. I mean, we're talking about when we used to exchange goats for crops.
Yeah.
So
simpler days, huh?
Simpler times. You used to marry families together to benefit four and five generations later. But it's like nowadays, nobody's willing to sacrifice themselves in order to do that. We have a very individualistic mindset where it's like, I can do bad all by myself.
That's true.
So, and look at this. A minute and 16 in, and look how long we've been talking. I told you, these go. These go.
You had another timestamp that you wanted to showcase? Did you want to pull that one up? Yeah.
Those are correct arguments, and nobody is disregarding the pain of men who have been wrongfully victimized under these circumstances where the incentive structure is completely stacked against them. That is true. However, the benefits of marriage are still unbelievable. It does matter who you marry. To pretend that there is no difference between the person that you marry, that it's happening with Christians and Muslims, and it's all the same, that's statistically untrue. There are things that you can do to mitigate against the risk of divorce, and the person that you marry is the chief mitigation.
That's kind of what I wanted to talk about. He claims that the person you choose to marry is the chief mitigation between, you know, divorce and marriage, which, you know, I started looking into that actually, and it seems like women go through this sort of like existential kind of identity crisis or some sort.
Crisis. What about the crisis of them not knowing what the fuck to eat?
When they get married, like they start realizing what all it entails, the kind of person they have to be. A lot. And actually, you talked about how people were crying in the Barbie movie. And to that point, like some women feel like they have to be this perfect wife.
Yeah.
And their husband has to have a hot lunch every day. And they just go through all these things and they're like, fuck, like I just signed up for another job. And then, you know, they have kids and they have go through these hormonal changes. So I don't necessarily know if I agree with that, because you get married, you have kids, and then your wife changes. Not only that, people just change over time regardless.
I don't like the statement at all. I think that's like saying your success in life is predicated based on which college you graduate from. Mm. That's not true, because there's the job market. There's the field, the major that you chose.
Right.
There's how well your resume is put together, how you interview, how well you dress for that interview, how articulate you are. There are so many other minute factors that go into something working out in the first place. Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you drive a car, you got to watch all your mirrors. You got to make lefts, rights. You know, there's so many small details. I think he's glossing over in that.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you that There is a crisis that kind of happens, but I don't think that it happens all the time. I think it's when the woman is getting married, right? Mm-hmm. So women typically advance faster than men.
From like a developmental standpoint? Or
yes, and society sets them up to do that.
Okay.
Women graduate school more. The black woman is the most educated woman in the country now.
There we go.
Told you, dummy.
Let me fucking put that down.
So there's like...
That's going to be so lies.
Things.
Astrid.
It's helpful that they have such a communal environment to share information, but imagine trying to be an independent career woman and also start a family. Then you have to get married. You have to learn how to follow, because you've been leading your own life this entire time.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you follow this man? Do I even have a traditional marriage, or do I have a modern marriage, whatever the fuck that is?
Yeah.
How do I have children? Where are they going to live? How high are my fucking taxes going to be? And most of those problems are problems that you both have to resolve.
Yeah, but
I understand the crisis standpoint.
Yeah. What'd you think about that,
Jim? Yeah, you guys are saying shit that I'm just trying to comprehend what you guys use. both use words that I'm like, I got to search that up later. So I don't know.
Do you think your wife changed at all when you got married?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a certain something to be said about when you are put in a position where you have to step up, right? Because having kids is completely different from just being married to one guy. that's both of you guys are still working together. The communication is honestly still very good. There's no real like blockade there, right? It's kind of smooth sailing for the most part, as long as the relationship itself is strong. But once you throw children into the mix, it throws everything off. Yeah, like the dad has a different role to play. The mom has a different role to play, and they're both trying to do it on their own, but together. And that's where it starts to kind of get fucked up, because again, it's like you're trying to, it's trying to blend water with oil at a certain point.
Yeah.
So it's just, somebody's going to have to give, somebody's going to have to take, like it's a lot of mixed up emotions.
Yeah.
And even where the communication prior to children was phenomenal, it's going to start trickling in different ways once the kids come into conversation. So my wife, yeah, she definitely changed because she had to. If she would have stayed the same person prior to having kids and then after, I don't think she would have made a good parent. But you have to change. There's no way that you stay the same. But that's not to say that I haven't changed. Both people have to adapt.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'll say.
So I guess that's like kind of like a counterpoint to my argument, is that you feel like she changed for the better.
Mm-hmm.
She changed. And I guess that's possible. But also there's women out there who, like, their whole thing when they wake up in the morning is, who's going to marry me? Like,
mm-hmm.
where can I go find a man? And then they get married and it's like, all right, now who are you? And I'm thinking maybe in that role, what happens is they figure out, like, I didn't really want to do this shit. Like, it just sounded good on paper. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I just wanted the ring. I wanted the wedding. I wanted to show people like I did it. And now they end up just not wanting it afterwards.
I think what they go through, what men go through, but it's carried out very differently. So when a man is desperate, he's a dangerous man.
Oh, for sure.
He may rob somebody.
He's a fucking idiot. It's fucking savage.
But when a woman is desperate, she go find a husband.
Yeah.
So we're doing the same thing to protect ourselves and to gain security.
Mm.
A man's primary motivation is security, to provide it in any way, shape, or form to himself and to the people he loves. So he may go be violent towards others to get it. She may go marry someone and have a shotgun wedding just to get it. So I think we're a lot more alike than we are different. But in terms of picking the right person to marry, I mean, it's fucking obvious, right? But when you look at the divorce statistics and why people actually get divorced, you realize that there are a lot of external factors that either make someone more who they already are or less who they already were. And they may exacerbate the worst things about them. And as those external stimuli, they end up factoring into the marriage and making it into something that it never was. So people just, all right, divorce.
What do you know what the number one cause of divorce is in America?
It's usually cited as irreconcilable differences, but it's financial.
Okay. Okay. Somebody's not making enough money.
Yeah. There's some type of, it's resentment, right? I think that's what that's how I interpret irreconcilable differences, is that, you know, Larry is the same guy, mm-hmm. for example, he was that he was 25. And maybe she was expecting him to grow and be someone else. So when she said yes, she invested in who she thought he was going to be.
Mm.
15 years later, exactly. 15 years later, they have children, they have a house. She loves all of those things, but there's something about the guy that's just not clicking to what she thought it was.
Mm.
So now, you know, she wants to make changes in the relationship, or she's like, I'm not happy with this person because he's not who I thought he was. Therefore, I think I'm just going to go ahead and hit him with the divorce papers because this isn't working out for me.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and kick him out of the house. Let me go take the children. This is no longer working out for me.
Mm.
Meanwhile, you've been around, you've watched your wife change from having kids, going to work longer or less. You've seen her change so much, and she's clearly not the person you married, but you stick it out anyway.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's where the irreconcilable differences come into play. Like, people focus more so on their own internal happiness versus what the other person actually brings in value.
That's a good fucking point.
All right. So we're talking red pill. So we can't talk red pill without Mr. Andrew Tate, who is featured in this video. So we're just going to click this and see what he has to say about marriage, and then we'll jump into the conversation. Shut up.
But like this, Andrew Tate has made the same sorts of arguments. Here's Andrew Tate talking about how men don't benefit from marriage.
I think it's a fantastic environment, and I think in an idealistic world, that's the way it would be. I think the reason it's not happening today is that I don't think many men actually benefit from marriages or relationships anymore. And people are always going to have to require some degree of incentive. I think that we've set up the world now in a way where men are seen as worker droids. They're expected to go work all day, come home, clean up as well, share the cleaning with the woman, not have any, no meal prepared for them. Not have any authority over the household and just be a worker droid and be sad. And I don't think that many people understand that men are intrinsically wired to desire respect amongst our peers and in our environments. This is why CEOs work so hard, because they get respect in their company.
Yeah, he's a psychopath. So that's why, like, I think Red Pill blew up the way that it did in the first place, because they see a clip like that and they tell themselves, I'm not supposed to go home and fucking clean the house. I'm not supposed to share those tasks with my wife. I come home from work and I expect the house to be clean and da-da-da-da-da-da, right? That's the toxic side of the Red Pill. But I also think there's benefits to it, where I think we've gotten to a point where, like, men are softer than what they used to be. They're not as, there's the divide, right? We've talked about toxic masculinity and masculinity being the same thing. And there's a confusion between that. And that's when you see the benefit. I think men are supposed to be able to be men, right? We're supposed to get aggressive when we need to get aggressive. We need to, but we also have to be able to tap in to come home and, you know, clean with the wife and kids and you know what I mean? Like, maintain the house. There's an idea that if I come home and wash dishes, that I'm not in charge of the house. It's like, no, you can be the head of the household and still help out in the house. Take out the trash, play with the kids. You know, what it's like, the idea that if I work 12 hours a day and then come home and then have to help my wife fold clothes, that I'm a worker droid, that I'm not valued the same. Am I understanding that correctly? Is that what he's saying?
I don't take any of those comments seriously on the surface. I think what it's about is, it's A, the expectation, and then be the obligation. So if I'm expected to be the same as men were 100 years ago, go out, work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, bring in the resources for my wife to use and make that a house, that's the expectation. But she, and then I'm also expected now to go share in her responsibilities as well. And it's her expectation that I'm going to do that. That's probably part of the problem. So it's not a, hey, babe, can you help me out a little bit? Like, it's no conversation like, hey, can we split some of the responsibilities? It's a, no, you're just going to be doing it. You're here to serve me now. I'm the prize. I'm the table, literally. It's that type of mindset that created, at least in my opinion, this monster that we have. Because obviously you have feminism and then you have Red Pill. So you have the male side of it. But I think it's the expectation and obligation piece. And the last point I'm going to bring up is, I also don't believe that many men are practicing the shit that they hear on these podcasts either way. You remember a couple years ago when it came out that Cardi B was making all of these songs and shit, but when she was at home, she was serving Offset and just being a really traditional wife at home. So she'll peddle that shit, but she doesn't actually practice that. And I think a lot of guys may feel good, like, damn, like, I would love for my wife to do these things, and maybe I'll try to get her to do a couple, but I'm not about to go home and kick down the door. Bitch, you make my rice and beans right now, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. So
this Red Pill shit is like a double-edged sword, because on one hand, it has created this mindset that men just need to be men, like focus on self-improvement, go make good money, exercise, mm-hmm. don't take shit from women or anybody for that matter. Mm-hmm. And then the other side is, it's created this sort of like sense of entitlement. Like, there's a bunch of fucking dudes like who just sit in these comments and these live streams all fucking day, listening to these people peddle bullshit. Andrew Tate, like, I don't know what he does outside of whatever, but bro has been charged for sex trafficking. How much hard work is in that? You're exploiting and manipulating the very same people you claim are useless. That's how you make your money. So is he going to the oil rig and coal mining and you know what I'm saying? Like you're talking to people about what they should be receiving based on who they are and the work that they've done. You are not the role model for that shit. And a lot of these people in this red pill space, they are not the role models either. If somebody like Jordan Peterson came out and said, listen, go to the gym 5 times a day and understand the roles that you're supposed to play in your household, I would take that. I'm like, you know what? This is a stand-up guy. This is a fucking doctor. The man is articulate. He dresses well. That's somebody I'm not listening to, a fucking dude who's in the house with his brother all day because you're not allowed to leave the country or you're step outside your front door for that matter. I'm not taking advice from that person. Am I tripping?
I think I don't want to say you tripping, but I think that there's something to gain by listening to people that fail at something. Quite frankly, right? I mean, that's who true. You want to listen to? The guy that's happily married or the guy that's actually divorced?
I want to listen to the dude that's happily married.
You want to listen to the guy that's actually divorced as well.
Okay. Why?
Because you get educated from where he failed. Mm. You know, being a man is about failure anyway.
That's true.
You know, we market success. We strive for success, but you need to take a lot of L's to get there. So when you meet a guy that's divorced, it depends on how he managed his marriage. Okay, so how did you manage your marriage? Do you have a lot more to gain, a lot more insight to gain from the divorce than what is the guy that's happily married actually going to tell you? Hey, Larry, I'm happily married. I'm going to ride off in the sunset with my wife. Fuck you. Like,
well, I mean, good luck with yours.
Yeah. Like, what is he going to tell you that's of any value?
What the things that help him to maintain his marriage and has helped him to get to a place where his marriage is happy?
I guarantee that person will tell you happy wife, happy life.
Probably.
That's the advice that I get from happily married.
Yeah. Men. Especially older.
Please men. Your woman and you'll have a longer lasting marriage. And I'm not saying that that's bad advice.
I'll say it.
I'm just saying that there is merit in listening to both sides. Mm. So you can have your Andrew Tate who made most of his money beating other dudes up in mixed martial arts and allegedly making millions off of sex trafficking. But then you have your other guys like JP who dress in nice suits, who is a doctor, who's articulate. So you just take the information from both sides and you figure out how to apply it best to your life.
Yeah, but that's with everything. So like you should be able to kind of listen to motherfuckers spew some nonsense and dissect and differentiate what is nonsense and some shit that actually might help me out. Because as much as bullshit as Andrew Tate says, he does also talk about men's responsibility and taking care of their women. Sure. Yeah. And being, you know, the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the protector in the household, right? Going to the gym, get your money up, be a stand-up guy. You should be able to take that information, but like, yeah, I should actually do that. Now, once he starts being some shit, like don't get married because then, you know, dot, dot, dot. You should probably be like, I'm going to fucking let you talk about that and let some other motherfuckers take that in. But that's just life in general. You should be able to hear. This is the same thing that we said with the Cat Williams shit.
Okay.
He was saying some shit that was like, well, some of it might be real, but you should be able to dissect what somebody is saying and use it in your own shit. Don't take everything that motherfuckers say at face value and let their thoughts be your thoughts.
I hear what you're saying, but you're assuming everybody thinks like the people in this room.
Sure.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that if you don't, that's what you have to start doing.
Okay.
Like, that's why I'm saying. I'm not telling you guys to do that shit. You guys already do that shit.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to realize that there are some messages that are independent of who's saying them. Mm. Like a lot of people focus so heavily on who's the messenger saying the message.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're literally missing the point. Mm. I don't care if I talk to 20 divorced men, they can still give me advice on marriage. I don't care if I talk to a homeless person because they had to have a home to get homeless. Like it starts somewhere. There's value in almost, you can find value almost anywhere.
That's true. Here's how I see it though. Like, you walk into a building, there's a millionaire who wants to meet you and tell you how to get to where he is, right? So he's telling you, oh, do this, do this, do this. Mm-hmm. You find out he hit the lottery.
He's a fraud.
Exactly.
And a con artist.
Exactly. Yes. And that's what I'm basically saying about Andrew Tate and people like him is that like you're painting a nice picture and I guess you are giving good advice in some instances, but you also don't practice what you preach. How are you going to tell me
how to get to where you are if you don't even know for sure if these things worked because you didn't do them. That's how I see it. Mm-hmm. So I guess like, yeah, on one hand, I agree with y'all, but also like sometimes fuck the messenger, kick them in the hole like they did in 300. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Point taken.
All right. No, I appreciate y'all coming on the podcast today. George, it was nice seeing you as usual. Eric, I'm definitely going to tap in to more of your content. I've been fucking with it heavy lately.
Appreciate it. And
I'm happy for all the success you've had. Hopefully, George and I can learn something from you because clearly y'all motherfuckers watching the show don't appreciate nothing.
But yeah, we're going to shout out Golden Boy. That's his channel. He's going to do a complete dive in breakdown of this video reaction. So if you wanted to see that, because obviously we just picked parts that we wanted to kind of bring onto the show. But if you want to see the whole thing, that's where you'll find it.
Yeah, anything you want to say to these ungrateful bastards?
Absolutely. Look, y'all should tap in more. Look, they just had their last video hit 1K. That's a huge accomplishment. Shout out to the Man Cave. They wrote a script for y'all guys to enjoy. They took a situation that's seemingly serious and made it into comedy. That takes skill. That takes talent. That takes time and effort. They've been doing this since 2022. Every week in the studio, they have never given up. So I want y'all to go out, watch the content, watch it all the way through, like it, comment, share that shit with your mom or your pops or your guardian if you don't have neither one of those. I don't care. Watch the content. And I appreciate y'all having me.
If you say I'm bitching, I don't care. We'll see y'all next week.
You see, the thing about Ben Shapiro is that I do respect him, but when he starts talking like this, it's really hard for me to keep up what he's saying because he starts talking like at 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's hard to take advice from a dude whose wife apparently has dry vagina. I don't know if Ben Shapiro really should be out here talking about marriage, bro. You gotta focus on your household as of right now. Once you figure that out, what makes her wet, you can come back and give us some advice.
And this is why boys should not have podcasts.